Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like a child sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. It is a pleasure to be among you again. I learned this morning that I had the great pleasure of being with you as your vicar began her ministry here, and I am now with you again as her time comes to a close. So it is good to be among you. I am Pastor Julie Boleyn, and my day job is as the executive director of the Kaleidoscope Institute, an organization that works with congregations across the country and into Canada, working on realities of intercultural connections. I am also checking my microphone. How is this? Or should I use this one? I'll use this one. How's that? That works better. I don't have to work so hard. I love it. All right, so I work with congregations around cultural difference. Well, that's so much better. And it is such a joy to be among you and to be able to wrestle with these scriptures with you this morning. So back in 1944, during World War II, the University of Minnesota undertook a study to figure out how to address the realities of hunger and starvation in the world. This was a huge issue at the time. And so they wanted to find volunteers who would willingly give up a full diet for a year. And 36 men were chosen, most of them conscientious objectors, people who wanted to help the war effort but didn't want to fight. Now, the results in some ways were really obvious. These men grew really thin. They were weak, and they were hungry. They had decided among themselves before they took this on that they would not complain at all because they were taking this on out of sense of duty. But the researchers discovered that these men became obsessed in their thoughts about food. They would try so hard to think of anything else, and yet they would memorize recipes. They would talk about the restaurants that they would open after this experiment was over. They complained mightily of their hunger, even though they swore they wouldn't. The researchers realized that not having enough of what we need can make it the only thing we think about. In our text today, Jesus describes this generation of complainers, those who will never be satisfied with anything. They didn't like John the Baptist because he didn't eat and drink. They didn't like Jesus because he did. There was no way to win. And I am personally not terribly patient with complainers for the sake of complaining. I've given up Facebook and most social media because I can't handle it. It proves to me that this passage is timeless. And I have learned, though, that my own complaints about other people complaining really doesn't help. But hearing this story about these men in 1944 made me wonder if perhaps those ones in Jesus' time who complained had a starvation of their own, a starvation that they couldn't name directly. What if they were obsessing over what other people did or did not do because of an insatiable hunger inside themselves? A hunger for justice, a hunger for love, a hunger for hope. All things that are so hard to name out loud. Perhaps our own tendency to complain is not unlike those men of 1944, dreaming of food, complaining over their empty stomachs, even when they did not want to. So about 10 years ago, back early in my days of serving as pastor at Unity Lutheran in Berwyn, I got the idea of gathering a few community members together to talk about the issue of sewer backup in Berwyn. Now, this is the thing that happens, and it probably happens in this area too. After a storm like the ones we've had the last few days, the basements in Berwyn would largely bubble up with things that you do not want in your basement. And the city was very slow in responding to anything about that. They would say, that's just the way it is when your infrastructure is old. And so I called together a group of people, calling it the Sewer Summit, thinking I was clever. And we gathered around to start to talk about the ways we could organize to address this problem. Things like grants, things like going to city council and making demands. But it became so clear as we sat in that circle that all they wanted to do was complain. Somebody else's problem to fix. I have no role here, though I know exactly what they should do. They just wanted to complain. And I knew that our complaints weren't going to fix it. Complaints will never fix a sewer system, and they will never make food appear. Listing our faults, obsessing over the wrongs of others and ourselves, this won't fix anything. Instead, I think it actually leads us to focus on ourselves and fail to see the consequences of our actions and that it deepens our hunger rather than addresses it. To which Jesus, whom I think was a little impatient with our ways that complaining hurts others, says to us, "Come to me, all you who are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will give you rest." It reminds me of those days when my child was small and he would have a temper tantrum. And there were two things that I found effective. One was to find the miracle of laughter. I would tell him stories about kittens doing strange things. The other was to just hold him in an embrace until the tears let go. Our God is like a loving parent, holding us, urging us to gently let the complaints go, to let the burdens free. Because our God is a God who can take all our vulnerability, our tears that do not make sense, our grumpiness, our complaints, our insatiable hunger. Our God can take it all. Every single aspect of it, even the parts that we think God finds offensive. Because God holds all of it in the miracle of love and transforms it, transforms all those burdens into a song. Not a song that denies the pain, but the sort of song, you know, this happens when we sing together. It moves us beyond ourselves. It connects us as God's own beloved. A good song will move us to hope, to wonder, to possibility beyond our imagining, beyond our complaining. And I give thanks to God that it does not require perfect pitch, because I do not have it. But rather, it is a song that receives us fully as we are, hungry and in need of rest, lonely and in need of companionship. It is a melody so complex that it can take all the discordant tones that we would offer. Indeed, this is the hymn of all creation, and it has the power to free us to serve this hurting world, to serve our hurting selves, to tend with compassion, not complaint. And I believe that you have been a part of this song for a very long time. On this 250th birthday of our nation, where we are still working out how to be one people, you have sung a song of welcome, where others would say exclusion. You have sung a song of welcome to LGBT folks in this church since 2006, proclaiming in this space that God's people are beloved, when others would say they're excluded. You have sung a song of solidarity with immigrants and refugees in a time of real fear. And you sing this song with every single person on your prayer list, reminding them that they do not bear their pain alone. And this music joins us together to bear the burdens of hunger, calling us beyond mere complaints to lay those burdens down and know the hope of our God who knows that we are hungry, that we are hungry for justice, that we are hungry for hope. Our God who promises that at the last all things will be brought together for good. May we join in that hymn and together hear the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me,
and rest. Amen.